following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. It's right across the street from the North Shore Mall and right above Alto Forno Restaurant, which will soon reopen, I understand, in around Labor Day. So they're doing a little facelift underneath. It looks great what they're working on, and I look forward to eating there again. Looks like the North Shore Mall across the street from us is back in business. It isn't packed over there for sure, but there are cars going, and it's always interesting to see as around 11 o'clock every morning when I look out the windows, the number of people waiting patiently outside the doors of Macy's for them to open up. I guess there's a lot of people that want to go shopping at Macy's or get into the mall. There are some restaurants that are open. We are slowly getting back to business, folks. We are in phase three of the coronavirus challenge that we face, and hopefully we will hit phase four at some point in the future, but no one really knows what that's going to be right now. But in the meantime, what I'm seeing at least, is people are saving money. How about you? I mean, I got to believe that you're not spending nearly as much money as you were prior to the coronavirus. That's for sure. I mean, we're certainly not spending money on travel, maybe not even eating out as much, and everything else in between. The question of colleges right now, will your children go back to college? Will your children go back to school? How that's going to work out? Will you go back to work? Lots of questions that are out there, and I'm here to try to provide you with a little bit of financial advice in a language you can understand. I'm with Friedman Financial. I'm the president and CEO of Friedman Financial, and we've been doing this since my father started our firm back in 1968. So 52 years, a deck of cards worth of years here providing financial advice to the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire community. And we've always taken an interesting approach. There's a lot of people out there in the industry that do financial planning these days, or at least call themselves financial planners. But in many cases, what I find is they're really just investment people. They're happy to give you some advice on how to invest some money, but they really don't understand the bigger picture of what's going on within your life before they ever make a decision about how to invest that money. And that's something that we've always done at Friedman Financial, going back to the 1960s, and it's even ever more present today. Remember, back in the 60s and 70s, maybe even in the early 80s, your grandparents or your great-grandparents, when they retired, they generally had three stools that held up their retirement life. Three legs of a stool to hold up the retirement life. That one leg was Social Security, another leg was pension, and the third leg was personal savings. And what was really interesting is if you had a parent or grandparent that died in the 1970s, for instance, or the 1980s, when they died, what did they have to leave to the next generation? In many cases, it wasn't much, because what they owned was they had their pension, which stopped when they died, Social Security that stopped when they died. They might have had a few thousand dollars in the bank, because back then in the 70s and 80s, remember what interest rates were paying at 10, 12, and 16%. Why would you invest anywhere else? I mean, what a great place to put your money. But it was a few thousand dollars. And besides that, it was their house. And what was that house worth back then? $59,900, $79,900. And you split that up amongst three children, two children. and you got a nice little check, but it really wasn't enough to change your life. What we're finding today, here we are in 2020, is that our lifestyles are a little bit different. The way we spend money is different, but the assets that we have are far larger than the assets that our parents and our grandparents had before us. I mean, look at the value of homes these days. Most homes are $400,000 or $500,000 just at a minimum, and some significantly more than that. People have 401ks with six digits in their 401k plans, in some cases even seven digits. Now, many people don't have pensions anymore, but that 401k plan is really designed to be the major source for income in retirement. It's that, so that's that money that you've saved and the money that you have that you might collect from Social Security. But the idea of a pension, that third leg on the stool, isn't really there anymore. So how do you manage it? How do you put it all together? And especially when you're thinking about the world that we're living in today, where do you put your money? Does it make sense to put money into the stock market? I think it does. I absolutely think it does. Now, despite people ask me all the time, Mark, why do you think the stock market keeps going up even though we're dealing with unemployment rates of 10 and 11%? We're still seeing 14 million people without work. We're seeing restaurants struggling, businesses filing for bankruptcy. Why does the stock market keep going up? And my answer is actually not that complicated. Remember, the stock market doesn't react to day-to-day volatility in the market. The stock market isn't moving because the numbers are spiking up in Florida. The stock market is moving up because we're getting closer and closer to a date somewhere in the future that says we're going to have a vaccine. If the markets didn't believe that a vaccine was possible, or some type of a treatment system that mitigated the spread of the coronavirus in the future, if that wasn't there, the stock market would be hurting. But the stock market isn't worried, as morbid as it might sound. They're not worrying about the deaths of today or the hospitalization rates of today. They're worried about what the economy will look like a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. You see, economically, we've gone through many, many hills and valleys, each one of them feeling as if, oh, we've never seen this before, this is something totally different, but always knowing that America will figure out a way to get us through. And we always do, whether it was the dot-com boom of the early 2000s, whether it was 9/11 and the terrorism of the planes crashing through the Twin Towers in New York, whether it was the financial crisis that happened in 2008, or the oil embargo in late 1970. We've gone through several presidential changes. We've gone through wars, battles. We've gone through all sorts of issues in this country, in this world. In each year, as the stock market has felt itself pull back a little bit to react to some upfront bad news, when rational minds put their heads together, there is a strong belief that we too will get through this. And I am absolutely confident that we'll get through it. The problem is right now we're finding ourselves buried in a limited number of conversations. It seems like today all that we want to talk about, all that we have to talk about really, is the coronavirus, social justice issues, going back to school, and I mean, what really else? I mean, we're not talking about sports, are we? We're not talking about theater. We're not talking about activities that we do outside of our life. We're limited with the scope of things we talk about. And so the media headlines, whether it's on coronavirus, whether it's social justice issues, it's challenging. And that's what's it's so frustrating, that we don't have more to talk about. And when our scope of items to talk about is limited, it gets pretty abrasive. And that's what we're seeing today. What we have to do, what I have to do as a financial planner who is given the responsibility of looking at your collective money and making sure that it is designed to support your life, to support your income for the rest of your life, I have to take a look at avoiding the noise, avoiding all of the emotion that goes around the money conversations, the economic conversations, and say, what works best for this family? What works best for your situation? Not your brother's situation, not your neighbor's situation, not the stories that they tell on NBC, CNN, CNBC, Fox News, whatever it is. What is your situation? And I find all too often, that we are blinded by the realities of everything else that happens outside of the world in which we live, in the bubble that we live in. Here's a great story. So I got a call from somebody this past week. She is like a third or fourth cousin to me. We've maintained an account for her at the office because we've just known her forever. But she lives in a very small bubble of the world. And she, as we're getting off the phone, she says to me, well, I look forward to seeing you at so-and-so's bar mitzvah the end of August. And I said to her, bar mitzvah? I what do you mean? I said, I can't imagine there's going to be a bar mitzvah the end of August. And she says, well, why not? Is the family having a problem? Is there an issue? I said, no. I said, there's a thing called the coronavirus that's happening right now, and gatherings just aren't happening. She says, oh, well, that doesn't apply to like weddings and bar mitzvahs and all those celebrations. I said, yeah, it kind of does. And she was like, no, I don't think so. I think I'll see you in August. And I tried to explain to her that the world is different. But unfortunately, the world that she lives in, she doesn't see that, which blew me away. I mean, she's wearing her mask and she's living in the space that she's in, but she just figured that, well, family gatherings are going to happen, funerals are going to happen, birthdays are going to happen, you know, parties and celebrations. She just hadn't been invited to any lately. She just expected and knew that these invitations were going to come to her in August, and she figured, well, I'll come. And she says, and what about the engagement party that we're both going to be going to in early September? I said, I don't know that that's happening either. And she says, of course it is. And it is amazing how what you or I might believe to be our understanding of what everybody thinks about what's going on, it's a little bit different for everyone. And we need to respect that. One of the things that I find right now is, look, you can go anywhere and you hear these stories about should you have to wear a mask wherever you go. Well, I'm a big fan of wearing a mask when there's any type of interaction with people outside of your personal bubble. So if you're going to walk into CVS or Walgreens or Walmart or Home Depot or the supermarket, you better wear a mask. And if the department store says wear a mask, you wear a mask. There is no, well, I feel that's a violation of my civil rights. Well, that's nice. Go shop somewhere else. You have no feet to stand on to say that you can go above the rules of a business owner to work to patronize their shop. If the business owner says no shirts, no shoes, no service, no shirts, no mask, no shoes, no service, whatever it is, that's it. There is no argument. There is no discussion. You just don't go. Now, you have every right as a human being who has a First Amendment right, freedom of speech, to stand out of the street corners and yell as loud as you want that they won't let me in because I'm not wearing a mask. Or you can go to Facebook or Instagram or any type of social media post that you want that says, I'm not wearing a mask. They won't let me go into the store. Well, folks, that's your right, but the business owner also has some rights. And the business owner has the right to invite into his or her shop whomever they want. Whomever they want. Look, there was a story about a year or two ago about a baker. I don't know if it was in Arkansas or Missouri that this couple, a same-sex couple, that wanted a wedding cake with two men at the top of the wedding cake. And the bakery refused to make this cake. Now, did the bakery shop have the right to do that? Absolutely. They absolutely have the right to say no. Now, does the bakery have the likelihood of dealing with the consequences of what would come from the social backlash from someone saying, well, you know, this bakery wouldn't make that cake? Absolutely. That's the world we live in. It's the freedom of speech, folks. It gives us the right to say what we want, but that doesn't mean that there's freedom of consequence. And that's what we're starting to deal with some of these social justice issues, feeling that you could say whatever you want, and yes, you can. You could say whatever you want, but there can be some consequence that comes from that freedom of voice as well. And all of that ends up becoming a financial matter. It comes into money. It comes into how we deal and where we choose to spend our money and use our money. All those decisions are up to you. Each one of us are influenced by the decisions we make when it comes to money. It's my job to try to help you make rational decisions during emotional times. And that's what we do here on Dollars and Cents each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 right here on North Shore 104.9. I'm going to take a quick break. When we're back, I've got a special guest for later in the show, not for the second segment, but for the third and fourth. But I want to share with you some other ideas, some other thoughts that I have that might help you start to make some smart financial decisions and prepare yourself for a better future moving forward. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey. Well, I need a dollar.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
It's not about the money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the now-open North Shore Mall and just above the soon-to-be-reopening Alto Forno restaurant. We've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. And if now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, about your retirement planning, about making smarter decisions about your financial matters, give us a call. Our office number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. If you'd like to learn a little bit more about Friedman Financial, I would encourage you to visit our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. If you go to the website, you'll see there's a few tabs across the top. One of them encourage you to learn more about Friedman Financial. And one of the things I take great pride in is this little PowerPoint presentation that we put together that walks you through the experience that a client will go through when working with a firm like ours. It talks about how do we prepare for an initial consultation? How do we get ready for something? And when we come into office, what is it that we can expect will happen? Then following that meeting, what happens next? And then after that, what happens next? When do we start talking about the projections of when can I retire? What does retirement look like? What if scenarios can I review? Do I have the right insurance? Do I have the right ownership of my assets? Are the beneficiaries correct on my investment accounts? We talk about all that stuff. Then how do we implement it? How do we begin to invest money? How do we begin to continue to manage and monitor your progress along the way? All of those things are included in that PowerPoint presentation that you will find on FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And many people really enjoy going through that to say, they use it as a comparison to say, you know, is this the type of relationship that I have with my financial advisor? Fair question. I mean, many of us choose to either do financial planning and investment management on our own, or we hire a professional or professionals to help us along the way. Now, I will be the first to tell you, financial planning is not difficult. Investing is not difficult, despite the fact that CNBC and some of these other financial news networks will tell you that it's difficult. But then again, you know what? Dieting isn't difficult either. Exercise isn't difficult if you just think about it. It's the actual implementation of it that's actually difficult, and sticking to it that's difficult. And so what my job is, what a dietitian's job is, what a trainer's job is, what a financial coach's job is, or a financial planner's job is to make sure that you stay on track. We know that you'll make the commitments. You know that you can make commitments for yourself up front. But how long will you how long will it take until that resolution is broken? I want to make sure that you stay on track. I want to make sure that we're adapting to changes along the way, because we know that's going to happen. Look, you might say to me, you know, Mark, I think in retirement, I need $100,000 a year to support my life in retirement. Others might say, Mark, I need $40,000 a year. Some need $60,000 a year to support their life in retirement. But is that the amount of money that you're going to need every year? Do you think you'll spend the same amount of money that you'll spend at age 60 than you will at 70, than you will at 80 or 90? No. Now, you're going to spend money differently. Will it be the same amount? I don't know. But let's be sure that we're giving you the skills and we're helping you track along the way what it is that you need. Because, you know, something's going to happen along the way. Here's what's going to happen. The kids are going to call and they're going to say, Mom, Dad, really, I'm looking at this house. Can you help me with the down payment? Or your parents are going to reach out and they're going to say, I don't know if I can pay all these bills. Things are getting expensive. Can you help me? Your kids are going to reach out. They need money for school. You want to help them out for school. Or perhaps you want to buy a house by the lake. Or perhaps you want to go on a vacation. Or perhaps you've just received an inheritance. Or perhaps your business has been sold. You've been laid off. Life happens, folks. And more than ever, almost some 30 million people, 40 million people have seen life happening differently than they imagined back in February. Whether it was being furloughed, laid off, fired, business closing, retiring, accelerating a retirement, or delaying a retirement. All of those are major, major financial decisions that impact your financial life. Who are you turning to give you unbiased, unemotional advice? Your spouse isn't the answer. You're not the answer to give yourself that advice. But taking advice from a friend, neighbor, or relative may not be the best advice either, because in truth, they normally don't know your whole financial situation. I can't tell you how many times we've met with couples who have come to our office who have thought to themselves, oh my goodness, I think I'm going to retire, but I'm scared. I don't think I have enough money. But when we look at their whole situation, their life in aggregate, not only do they have enough money, sometimes they need to spend more money. Yeah, you heard me right. I just said you need to spend more money in retirement, because here's the problem. Earlier in the show, I talked about the reality of what happened to people who inherited money from their parents and grandparents back in the 70s and 80s. And those people didn't inherit very much. Basically, they inherited part of a house, and maybe there was some money in the bank. And then through the years that followed, they imagined themselves living off the interest they could get from their CDs or their bank accounts or their investment accounts. But the reality is that's not all that easy anymore. The fact is that interest rates are near the lowest levels they've ever been. So putting $100,000 into a bank CD will barely spin you off $100 in interest for the year, when years back, it could have spun off $10,000 in interest. The way we're living today has to be different. The way we imagine retirement has to be different. But the idea of just saying, well, I might have, let's say I have, I don't know, $500,000 at retirement in collective investment accounts, and I want to take 5% from that account. 5% of $500,000 is $25,000. And then if I could get Social Security for my spouse and I, maybe that's another $40,000. So $25,000 plus $40,000, that's $65,000. That's $5,000 a month. Maybe that's all I need in retirement. But meanwhile, if that's all you needed and you died, your children are about to inherit not only the $500,000 investment account, but they're also likely to inherit the house that you own. And what do you think that house is worth? chances are you've paid off the mortgage, and that house could be worth $500,000 too. So $500,000 and $500,000, that's $1 million that you're passing on to your children. You might say, great, I'm thrilled that I can pass $1 million on to my children. But when your children inherit this money, unfortunately, and I'm just telling you this from experience, some won't follow this, but most will, they will spend some of that money more frivolously, more aggressively than you ever would have. That's the truth. We're seeing, look, in my office, since we've been doing this since 1968, we average 1.5 deaths a month. That's not because we serve bad coffee. It's because my father started the firm back in 1968. And some of those clients who were 30 and 40 back then, they're now 80 and 90 years old. And they're dying. And we're seeing them leave money to their next, to the next generation of children. And those children, as you think about your children, how financially responsible have they been? Have they built up debt? Have they lived above their means? But when they get this inheritance from you, they're using that money to pay off debt. When you were trying to use your money to cover your expenses with hopes you weren't going to run out. But the reality is, if you spent a little bit more money, it probably would have been okay. And the kids would have been okay too. It's finding a balance that's appropriate for what you want, for what you hope to leave to your kids, but for what it is that could possibly make the most successful retirement for you. That's important. We want to see you achieve success. And the only way you achieve, you get this success is by understanding where everything is and what everything is worth. And so in the next segment, when we come back, I'm going to be inviting in a guest. His name is Christian Karcher. He was actually on the radio with me this past week. We had so much feedback from people saying, hey, that guy was kind of fun to listen to. He was very interesting. Christian's been with me about 3 years now, and he is our paraplanner. He is also a certified financial planner. But Christian's the guy that helps to build our financial plans. Sure, me and my partner Marion will meet with you to gather information, to learn about you, to understand what your goals and objectives are. But at the end of the day, somebody has to take all of that data, assimilate it all, and try to put it in an organized manner so that we can help crystallize your life so you can see where you stand financially. That means collecting bank statements. It means reviewing pay stubs. It means reviewing benefits booklets and so much more to build what we call a net worth statement so you can see what you own, what you have. When Christian's on in the next segment, he'll tell you a little bit about that process and how we do this for our clients. And when our clients see what we've done, they go, oh my goodness, no one's ever been able to show us our financial life the way that you've shown it to us. Finally, we have a piece of paper or a couple pieces of paper that say, this is who we are. Now, from this foundation, now we can begin to plan and think towards the future and say, yeah, now I can see it. Now I can imagine what I want to do. Now I can answer these questions. Now there's possibilities. All right, when we get back, I'm going to invite Christian here into the studio. Before that, let me just remind you, we put out a newsletter each and every Friday. It lands in your inbox at 10:30 in the morning. It's called Planning Pointers. If you'd like to get your free copy that's been mailed to subscribers since March of 2009, go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page. You'll see sign up for Planning Pointers. You'll put in your name, your email address. Click on the drop-down box that says, how'd you hear about us? And then if you want to drop me a note, you can drop me a note. If you don't want to, you don't have to either. Just hit the send button and you will be registered. All right. When we're back, I've got Christian Karcher, our paraplanner, coming into studio. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. For more than 50 years, we've been providing individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley with financial advice in a language you can understand. As each of us struggle to find answers in this uncertain environment, we're continuing to communicate with our clients in a variety of ways. Our weekly newsletter, our video town hall, our client teleconferences, and periodic phone calls continue to offer ways to address clients' questions despite remaining physically distant. If you're feeling alone and searching for rational advice during these emotional times, perhaps Friedman Financial can provide the comfort that you need. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the now slowly opening North Shore Mall, and right across, and right upstairs from Alto Forno Restaurant that will be opening soon in September, I hope. I'm joined here in studio by, as I promised, by Christian Karcher, who joined us about 3 years ago. Christian, we had so much fun in studio with you last Sunday that the phones just rang off the hook. The letters came coming in. The fans came screaming. They said, bring them back, bring them back, bring them back. So, Christian, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad I did such a good job that that you let me back on.
No, well, you know,
you didn't give me a year in between this time.
That's exactly right. So I think it was a year since you were last on the radio, right?
No, I think that's correct.
Yeah. And you were actually in the studio at the North Shore 104.9 studio when we did that last time, right?
I was. Things are a little bit different now.
Yeah, we're operating here from the office Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We are running regular business hours in our office, though we aren't seeing clients. We are operating here with our staff, and Monday and Friday we're working from home, but we are meeting with our clients via Zoom, via our Zoom town halls that we do. We have phone calls, of course, that work, email, all of that other fancy stuff, and soon, someday soon, the time will come when we will be back in the office with everyone, right?
That's right.
I made a rhyme there.
Oh, you kind of did, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I tried. So, I wanted to bring Christian back in because as I told you in the second session of this show, Christian is responsible for helping to build the financial plans here in the office. And one of the things that people get very excited about is when they've done the homework of gathering all of their assets. And, you know, that's a lot of work, stuff you have to put together. We then put it together in a format that allows them to see where they stand financially. And so I wanted to give, maybe you could give everybody a sense, Christian, as to what does that work look like? You know, we've met with the client, they give us a whole bunch of information. What is it that you're doing to prepare for the financial plan?
Well, I think the first step is getting together a net worth statement. I think you've kind of alluded to this.
What is a net worth statement, Christian?
It's what you own less what you owe. So it's all the things you own, your bank accounts, your investment accounts, your retirement accounts, minus what you owe. Maybe it's credit cards, maybe it's a mortgage, but we kind of put that all together on one piece of paper. And I think that might be one of the most satisfying things for a lot of clients who come in kind of not sure where to begin with a whole box full of documents and saying, here are all my statements, go for it. And I kind of sort through it, put it together, get the information into our software where we can do all of our planning, and we can start off by just getting together that net worth statement that says, this is how much you own, this is how much you owe, here's the total amount together, that's your net worth.
And it's pretty amazing when we sit down with these clients and they see that number, that their net worth is oftentimes over $1 million. And I'll tell them, oh, congratulations, you're a millionaire. Do you feel like one? But generally they don't, because I think people are surprised to see what it all adds up to.
That's right. I think a lot of people, they see their let's say their 401k statement show up and, okay, that might be $200,000. And then they see their bank statements, that might be like $50,000. And so they think of all of those pieces as kind of their own individual pieces. And they never really in their mind put it together and say, okay, so what does all of this equal when you look at all of them together?
Yeah, and it's pretty surprising for many folks. And as you will know, as listeners, I mean, look, a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, even a 40-year-old for that matter, is not going to have an enormous net worth.
That's right.
But the vast majority of the clients that we're dealing with are 55, 60-plus. In fact, we just got a report that helped us analyze our entire client base, and we looked at the average age of our clients is 65 years old.
Did you know that?
I did not know that. No, I thought it was, I would have guessed a little bit on the older side, but I think we have brought on quite a few people in their early 60s and I guess, yeah.
Even in their 40s and 50s that we've had. Right. So, but yeah, the average age right now is 65 years old. And, but what I find interesting is when a new client calls the office, they're asking, you know, they usually start with saying, I have this money that I just inherited, or I just lost my job, I have some money to roll over. And we usually say, hold on a second, we can absolutely help you answer those questions, but there's so much more that we need to understand about you before ever investing that money. So maybe you could share with our listeners what you've learned about the way we operate here and how we do things a little bit differently in having that conversation and what it is that we need to collect.
Right. And I think it stems from starting out, and we have to reframe the conversation, because a lot of people see investment advisor and they think, okay, so let me give you my statement for my IRA and you tell me how to invest it, and then we'll go on from there. But really, we take a look at financial planning, right? We're looking at everything. And so we have to step back and say, okay, so instead of just these questions, what other questions are there out there? What does your cash flow look like? Are you saving more? Are you saving any money? Are you spending more than you're earning? Is your insurance appropriate? So we got to look at all of these pieces together. And so we have to start from a frame of, okay, what are your goals and aspirations? What are you trying to get out of this? And what is available that you might not even know you want to get out of this? So I think that's kind of step one.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that you mentioned was this word cash flow. So one of the things that I always find interesting when you ask someone, when you think about retirement, how much money every month do you think you might need to cover your expenses? Most people don't know that answer. They haven't really given it much thought. And when they do think about it, the number that they give us is not even close to what they think it should be. Why do you think that is?
I think people look at their recurring expenses and say, okay, so that's about how much I spend. So, you know, you've got your mortgage and your phone bill and your electricity, and you kind of have a sense as to what those numbers are every month. Mm-hmm. But you don't really factor in, you might factor in, okay, I spend about $100 on groceries a week. But do you factor in going to the movies? Do you factor in going out to dinner? What about when your water softener breaks and you have to replace that and do some home improvement projects? Is that included in your number? So I think what most people leave out is the one-time things that they say, oh, that's just a one-time purchase. But if you have two one-time purchases each year and you do that every single year, that becomes a recurring expense. It might be different items you're spending the money on, but you're still spending that money each year.
Yeah, it feels like when you do a little home improvement project and the contractor comes to you and says, oh, this project's going to run around $15,000 or so. And you go, oh, $15,000. Okay, that was within my budget. And then at the end of the project, you realize it's going to cost you $25,000, and the project isn't going to take 6 weeks, but it's going to take 12 weeks. It's always something more than what you expected. And it is very eye-opening for us to, for when the clients understand how much they're spending. So maybe you could walk through, what are some of the exercises that we do with helping our clients verify what it is that they're spending?
Right. So we usually look at three different subsections of how to estimate spending and kind of play them off one another to figure out what is a good number. So the first thing that we do, and is usually the most accurate, is we take a look at 6 months of bank statements. That's enough to catch some of those one-time purchases. And we look at 6 months of bank statements and say, okay, how much money has come into this account over those 6 months and how much money has gone out? And we'll take a look at the money going out and say, okay, some of it's for savings, or some of it was a big one-time purchase of a house or something. But generally, you can get a sense to how much you are spending in that six-month period, and then you just average it out for each month of the year. So that's number one. That's usually the most accurate, but also we can look at some others. So we look at tax returns for clients. That's a big one. So you can kind of take a look at a tax return. You see, okay, this is the adjusted gross income. Then you back out all of the taxes that are spent and you say, okay, so this is how much money is left of that adjusted gross income after taxes. And then you can say, that's how much you're spending and saving together. From there, you have to figure out how much they're saving of that money. But generally, that spending number is pretty close to what someone's adjusted gross income, that number on the 1040 form on your taxes, is less any savings.
So that adjusted gross income number, to put the term adjusted gross income into perspective, many people this year were entitled to a stimulus check from the government. And that adjusted gross income number that the government was looking at said, if you added up all of the money that you reported on your tax return, plus interest, plus dividends, plus any capital gains, maybe you had some business income, whatever it is, add all of that up. There might have been a couple of deductions to go along with it. If that number was under $90,000 as an individual or under $180,000 as a married couple, you were entitled to the full stimulus check. Anything over that, whether if it went 90 to 100 as a single person or 180 to 200 as a married couple, if you made more than that, you got no stimulus check. And if you got somewhere in between, you got a phased in check, a partial check. So many people think, well, I make a $60,000 a year salary at work. That's the income that I'm showing as my adjusted gross income. Well, what's kind of interesting about that is if you make $60,000 a year and that's the only source of income that you have, but you participate in your 401k plan and you put 10% of your pay into a 401k, well, that's $6,000. Your income is that's going to get shown to the government is $54,000. Remember, you want to show as little income as you can on your tax return, not as much as you can on your tax return, because the bigger the number, the greater the taxes you have to pay. So it's not about, you don't need to be excited about boasting how big your tax return was. You want a little number if you can get there, right? I mean, so you've looked at the bank accounts, yep. we're talking about. I'm joined here by Christian Karcher, a financial planner, certified financial planner in our office here, who supports both Marion and I in doing a lot of the financial planning work. He's giving us some guidance on some of the processes that he goes through when helping to construct a client's financial plan. And the first is understanding how much money you're spending. So we talked about looking at bank statements, which we ask you to bring in, reviewing the tax return. And what's that third one that we use?
So the third one we use is kind of one that a lot of people go to naturally, and that's pay stubs. So we can figure out a lot about how much you are spending by figuring out how much you are bringing into your house. So we look at the pay stub and we see, here's your net check. Let's say you make $1,000 a week. That would be $52,000 a year. We can kind of estimate that you're spending $52,000 a year unless you're saving somewhere else in addition.
Right. And so one of the cool things about that is that if you're bringing home, let's say, $1,000 a week, and so let's say it's $1,000 a week, that's over 52 weeks, that's $52,000. If your bank account hasn't gone up or down over the course of a year, that basically tells us you're spending everything that comes in.
That's right.
If your bank account was $10,000 and at the end of the year it was $15,000, we're seeing, well, maybe you're saving some money there too.
That's right. And so we look at those three numbers, put them together, and kind of get a good sense as to how much a client is
spending. All right. That's one of the important parts of putting together a financial plan. We have to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to get more advice from Christian Karcher, our certified financial planner at Friedman Financial. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Make the money, don't let the money make you. Change the game, don't let the game change you. I'll forever remain faithful. All my people stay true.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. If now's the time, and this really could be a great time, for you to get serious about your financial planning, we are here to help. Our doors are open virtually. We are not accepting clients in the office right now, just out of an abundance of safety, but we are here via phone, via internet, by listening to the radio show. There's plenty of ways to get in touch with us, and we would love to talk with you. If you'd like us to send out some information about who we are and what we do, we'd be happy to do that. All you need to do is call our phone number, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. You can go to the bottom of any page on our website and sign up for our free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. We've been sending out this free Friday newsletter since March of 2009. I don't know how many weeks it is, but it's a lot. So that's what, 11 years times 52? Someone can do the math. It's probably 600 issues or so that we've been sending out. Over 7,500 subscribers. If you'd like to join that list of subscribers, go to the bottom of any page on our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. Like I said, Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Put in your name, your email address, and boom, it gets sent out to you this upcoming Friday. Well, one of the things that we do at Friedman Financial that I think is, I didn't think it was as unique as it was, but I've learned by so many people who have come knocking on our doors, have called our office, or have become clients here at Friedman Financial, is the way in which we weave financial planning into everything in your life. Now, I think what we do is we weave investments into your financial plan rather than many investment professionals who try to weave financial planning into an investment. And I think that's a big difference. And joining me in studio today is certified financial planner Christian Karcher, who's been with me about 3 years or so here. And Christian does a lot of the financial planning work. And so when you think about what I just said, Christian, we weave investments into financial planning. That would suggest that there's other components within a financial plan that aren't just investments. And what are some of those other things that we're looking at when we're putting together a plan?
Well, so we already discussed cash flows in the last one. That's a really big one. I think everything kind of starts there. So some of the other sections, a lot of people never look at their insurance or their estate planning documents, and not necessarily that they don't look at it, but they just don't understand it. They bought it from someone, or they had estate planning documents drafted, and no one's ever explained it, what they have to them. And sometimes when you explain what they actually have, they're kind of surprised because that's not what they thought they did have.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting you mentioned that, because I can't tell you how many times we run into a client and I ask them, when I look at their insurance policy, so tell me, why did you buy this insurance? And the answer is oftentimes, I have no idea. Someone just told me I had to get it. But they don't know what they bought. They don't know why they had it. And you do some significant analysis work to really help our clients educate what it is that they have.
That's right. I mean, we have to really dig into what is this kind of policy. Most people say, okay, I've got some life insurance. Well, there are a lot of different kinds of life insurance, and that's something that kind of escapes people. There are life insurance that's meant to last the rest of your life. There's life insurance that's only meant to last a small portion of your life. And just that distinction alone is really important when you're looking at how much it's costing, how long you plan to pay those premiums, and what happens to it when you die.
Yeah, I mean, I always find it interesting to see how much people are paying for life insurance. And sometimes, all different types of life insurance are right for the right person. And sometimes it's expensive. Sometimes it's not so expensive. But you have to really look at the person's situation to say, does this make sense? And the best way to do this is not just look at it as the insurance purchase, but it's a purchase on something that's wrapped around everything else. Insurance is just another slice in what I call the financial planning pie. What are some of those other slices that you look at?
So as I mentioned earlier, estate planning is a big one. A lot of people will get estate planning documents. That's your will. That's your power of attorney, which lets someone act on your behalf. That's your healthcare proxy. That tells who you want to act for you if you were in a coma or needed some medical decisions made. Those documents are very important to have, and it's also very important to review them to make sure you're listing people who you want to list. Your estranged son is probably not your best power of attorney or healthcare proxy. And a lot of people get these documents drafted many years previously and don't look at them for 15, 20 years and quickly realize that maybe this isn't set up how I want it to be right now.
Yeah, and it's important to note that, you know, Christian, you and I don't write these estate planning documents.
No,
and we will refer you to attorneys or work with the attorneys that you've already had that have drafted these documents, but we do read them all. And I oftentimes find it very interesting to see who some of the beneficiary designations are on some of these documents, especially the older ones, where perhaps you were married early or perhaps you were just in your early 20s before you were even married and someone suggested, oh, get a will. Mm-hmm. And you named your mom or your dad as beneficiary to your estate, but now you're married, you have a couple kids, and you haven't updated those documents. And we find those things in these estate planning documents, don't we? We find all sorts of interesting things.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's really easy to kind of miss out on updating everything at once. So when you go in to do your estate planning documents, you might get a will drafted and say, great, we're all done. Well, the problem is a lot of accounts have beneficiary designations on them anyway. So beneficiary designations are something where you say, this is who the account is going to. And that supersedes the will. That
is, so for instance, if you have a 401k.
Yes.
When you have a 401k, you're often asked to write on your 401k document, who is your beneficiary?
That's right.
And if you named your brother as beneficiary, yet you were now married, and you said, well, I have a will, and in my will, it says, I'm now sending this money when I die to my wife. That money in the 401k may not go to your wife, would it?
No, it would almost certainly go to your brother. And hopefully your brother's benevolent and realizes, oh, there was an estate planning mistake. But there are definitely,
don't count on it.
There are definitely situations where that isn't the case.
Yeah, and so what are some of the other areas? So we've talked about insurance. We've talked about investments. We've talked about estate planning. What are some of the other things we look at? I know taxes is one of them that's very, very important.
Right. A lot of our clients are just beginning to transition into retirement. And they say, you know, I don't know what my tax situation is even going to look like in retirement. A lot of people have never paid quarterly estimates. And so we help them kind of get a sense as to, okay, how much are you going to owe in taxes? That's one thing that I think a lot of people are surprised by when they're in retirement. They don't realize, okay, I'm getting the Social Security check now, but not all of it is even taxable. And you don't have all of the income that was also getting paid to Social Security and Medicare taxes. And so their tax bill ends up being a lot lower. And so someone might say, okay, well, the year before I retired, I had to pay, let's call it $20,000 in taxes. So what if I just write quarterly estimates for $5,000 apiece? Well, at the end of your first year of retirement, you very well could be receiving a significant tax refund. And we want to try to avoid that if possible.
Yeah, so one of the things that I've found, it happens all the time, is that somebody was making $100,000 a year, who's approaching retirement. They say to me, well, when I go into retirement, I think I need to replace it with $100,000. Or actually, I need to spend $72,000 because they figured I'm in the 28% tax bracket, because that's what they thought they were in. So they figured, if I'm making $100,000, $28,000 is going to go to taxes. So I need then enough money, $6,000 a year. I think I did that right. 6,000 times 12 is $72,000 a year. That's what's necessary. So that's not necessarily the case anymore, is it? Because when you are retired, no one's taking Social Security or FICA out of your paycheck anymore. Mm-hmm. Your federal tax could be different. You're not contributing to your 401k anymore. You're not maybe contributing to UNICEF or paying into a disability plan or whatever else it might be. And so what somebody thinks they might need in retirement is different from what the reality is of what they really need. And that's where you really step in to try to help us understand what those numbers are.
Right. And that goes back to the cash flow, that goes to the investments, and it goes to the tax recommendations.
But in addition to that, you know, so we've talked about taxes, we've talked about estate planning, we've talked about insurance. You know, the investments and cash flow, and the investments are a big part of what we do. I mean, we manage $450 million for our clients here at Friedman Financial. And I know one of the things that you're looking at with Marion as well is trying to make sure that the clients are not set up with an account that we call a diversified portfolio as opposed to a diversified portfolio. A diversified portfolio is somebody who has a whole bunch of investments, but they're all managed the same way. And Bert White, who's the he's an executive vice president over at LPL Financial, he used to use the word diversification, and I've used that in my own talking with clients as well. But you take a look at that portfolio and try to help us unwind it a little bit to make sure that we understand that the client has the proper asset allocation rather than something that's too risky.
Right, and those asset allocations are always, we kind of look at those at the very end. People think that we probably start with that or it kind of comes in the middle. It's really at the very end because we look at, okay, here's your retirement projections. So how much income are we going to need from your investments? And do we need to take more risk or less risk? There are a lot of people that come in with significant money and they don't need to light the world on fire and get 10% returns or be 100% in equities, they can be a lot safer with that money. And so we look at all of that and come up with a portfolio that matches that and will allow us to provide them with the income we've determined that they are going to need for the rest of their lives from that portfolio.
Yeah, and it's also important. I mean, when we're building a portfolio for a client, there's no guarantee here. I mean, people are asking, well, what have your returns been in the past? And I hate giving this answer, but the answer is it depends. It's always it depends, because especially when you're in retirement, chances are you're going to want to have monthly money coming out of your investment account to support your spending needs. And sometimes you'll need a little bit more. Sometimes you'll need a little bit less. But one of the things at Friedman Financial that we try really hard to do is to make sure that your portfolio is flexible enough to adapt to the changes that you might need along the way, because there will be times when you say, all right, maybe I need $500 a month to come out of my investment account, but in October, I want to spend $25,000 for a car. So we have to have that nimbleness to be able to do that. But the only way that we can give you the true comfort, the true fiduciary spirit of placing your interests first, is when everything else in your financial life is understood. And you just mentioned here how important it is to look at the investment part last rather than first. And I think that is the aha moment for many people when they come to our office and they begin to understand, wow, you guys do something a little bit differently. It's more than the investment account.
That's right.
All right. Well, we've got to think about wrapping things up here a little bit. Christian, I want to thank you for joining us again. I'm sure we will get all sorts of accolades from our listeners again saying, hey, that guy was great on the radio. And if you'd like to meet Christian, or if you'd like to become part of the Friedman Financial family, we are certainly accepting new clients. Even though we are operating somewhat remotely here in the office, we can send you out our information kit. We can get information off to you so that you can begin to organize your thoughts. We can hold those initial conversations through Zoom technology. That's how we're doing it right now. And then ultimately, when the time comes, when the doors reopen and we can meet you in person, we'll love to do that as well. Just a reminder to all our listeners, we put out a free weekly newsletter called Planning Pointers. It arrives in your inbox at 10:30 every Friday morning. All you need to do is go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website and you can put in your name, email address, and boom, you will get our newsletter 10:30 in the morning every Friday. All right, that's going to do it for us this Sunday. I hope you enjoy this hot weather. Enjoy the summer. Stay safe. Wear your mask when you get out into the public. And have a great day. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.